I'm talking now with soprano Elise Kakasic, who has joined me, and to talk about a new album of hers. This is a piece that I had heard about, but had never actually sat down and listened to before. It's a song cycle, the Biblical Songs of Antonin Dvorak. Of course, we all know Dvorak. We know wonderful music he wrote for the orchestra, some of his chamber music. But these are beautiful songs, and they're all settings of some of the Psalms, very famous Psalms, translated into English, I guess, by Dvorak himself. I want to hear all about this. But first, let me welcome you, Elise. Thank you for joining us here on FM 91.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to share what I know about these songs and this beautiful music with as many people as I can. So thank you.
It's wonderful that you have recorded these, especially right now during the pandemic, people, you know, sequestering at home. And it's been really, really hard on the performing arts industry and on singers in particular, because, you know, we can't sing anywhere in public anymore. So I know you've been doing a lot in the way of videos that you've made and reaching out through social media to people. But this is reaching out in a different way, I think, through the beauty of these songs. Before we talk about these Dvorak songs in particular, tell me how this whole project came about for you.
Sure. Well, honestly, it's just unfolded in the most special way. These songs were recorded pre-pandemic, before any thought of the reality that we're living in right now, you know, would have been thought incredulous. We recorded these songs at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in Manhattan in January of 2019. I am a singer, or I was a singer in the professional choir at that church. And over the summers, the soloists are invited to do solo services with the organist Ryan Jackson. And Ryan chose three of these Dvorak biblical songs for me to sing because they went with the sermon that day. And he and I just fell in love with the pieces and with doing them together. And I felt very an immediate potent connection to this music as a person who shares Czech heritage with Dvorak and has always been drawn to Dvorak's music. So we decided, you know, why not just record these? We have this free space, this chapel here that we're allowed to use with just beautiful acoustics. I had a dear friend who was starting his own independent record label that I worked on my previous album with, and he was all for coming in and recording us just for fun. So the three of us holed up in this little chapel in Manhattan for, I think it was one session that was about six hours long. And we just spent the day with Dvorak and just made this music. And the recording itself kind of got holed away for a little while. I released a different album. I was working on tons of different projects in the city, performing live. And then the pandemic hit, and I remembered them. I remembered that these recordings existed, and it just seemed like the perfect time to offer them because they surround themselves with loss and with grief, but also with hope and faith and inspiration. And the concepts, it's not lost on me in the face of everything the world is facing right now. And there is a sense of desperation as a singer and as a performing artist to connect and to offer and be of service in whatever way I can in this hard moment when I can't even be in a room with people to help them feel better. So it all just kind of came to be and on its own perfect timing. And it's been really beautiful to watch it unfold, even stuck up here in my tiny Brooklyn apartment, just kind of watching from afar as people like you become interested in them. And it's been a really hopeful thing for me to have this project come to life.
I think many people are looking to find a little bit of solace and comfort in music, but also in hope. And this album certainly fits the bill as far as that is concerned. I was interested to find out that Dvorak wrote these while he was in New York, because, you know, we know that American String Quartet. We know the Symphony from the New World. This is one of those rare pieces that we don't realize was actually written here in the States.
Yes, he was actually living. It's so much fun for me because I discovered this while we were recording, like in that process. But he was actually living at 17th Street and 2nd Avenue, which is right where most of my little baby piano students live. So I've been just hanging out in the neighborhood where Dvorak was living when he wrote these also, which was, there were just lots of little dots that connected in this project in a beautiful way, kind of across space and time, which goes with the material itself as well. But yes, so he wrote these pieces while he was here in New York. And it's rumored, it hasn't been confirmed, but people are pretty positive that he wrote these songs in response to his father's passing. And his father passed in the Czech Republic, and he was not able to go and properly mourn his father and have closure, because at the time that travel would have been very difficult. So that's kind of another little connecting the dot of this situation that we're in now in this pandemic, when people are losing family members and loved ones and not able to see them and not able to have a proper service, and even on a level of not being able to visit with family and being far from family and travel being so difficult. So there's a unique insight into all of these things that we're experiencing right now through these biblical songs that I think is really beautiful.
Now, there are 10 of the songs, 10 psalm settings. There are some of the big hits here, you know, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," by the waters of Babylon, "I will lift up my eyes," you know, "Sing unto the Lord," all those psalms that we all know and love. I'm wondering if you have a favorite, if you have any personal stories that you connect with any of these particular psalms?
Most definitely. I connect with many of them, but the one that honestly drove me to do this project was Psalm 23. My great-grandmother, I was very lucky. I grew up living upstairs from my great-grandmother. She passed away when she was 94, and I was in eighth grade. So she was my best friend after school. I was a very bullied little kid because I liked opera when I was 10. So I didn't quite fit in with people my age, but
you were a role model. That's what you were, a role model.
Something like that. Yeah. But after school every day, I would come home and I would spend time with my great grandmother, and she lived through so many things, through the Great Depression. She was making bathtub gin during Prohibition. Like, she was a cool human being. And she was a woman of immense faith. And she and I connected in that way. And when she passed away, the morning that she passed away, she made my mom repeat the 23rd Psalm with her over and over and over and over again. And the words were always a little bit different, which makes me feel even more connected to this particular text that Dvorak set. The words were always a little bit different, but always a variation on the essence of what the psalm meant. And while my great-grandmother was passing away, my aunt, my mom's sister, was giving birth to my cousin Greta at the same time. And yeah, so it's a very potent story. My great-grandma kept asking if the baby was here yet in between her utterings of the 23rd Psalm. And she was just holding on and holding on and holding on. And as soon as she heard that Greta was born, she passed away about 15 minutes later.
Wow. It's a heartbreaking but a beautiful story.
Yes.
That you're sharing there. I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
We did mention that the English translations are by Dvorak, which I never would have guessed. I mean, I guess he had to know a little English to come here to the United States and teach and work.
Yes. So he wrote these songs in his native Czech language with an orchestrated version. But he wanted to really, I mean, he was a very progressive person. He really wanted to connect with the people that he was around. And he had been feeling so isolated, probably because of this loss, this recent loss, that he really wanted to reach out to, you know, the people that were speaking this new language. And another beautiful thing about these translations is that he translated the texts from the Czech Kralika, which is the oldest Czech Bible in existence. And it's considered some of the highest level poetry in the language. And it dates to 1575. So it's a very old, beautiful text. And it's very monumental in Czech culture. And so for him to take that text and translate it into the English is very, to me, it's a very kind of stunning choice, because the psalm texts exist in English in, like, you know, three different versions that are all kind of in a similar vein that we all know. And he could have very easily called up new American friend and been like, hey, what's the psalm text here, you know? But he really wanted to bridge that gap between the two cultures in that beautifully subtle way, which I think is a testament to who he was as a person and an artist.
I just have to point out, you have very good diction, too, so.
Well, thank you.
That's the one thing that's, you know, when we hear something in our native tongue, we want to be able to understand it, so well done on that front. The name of the album is Formless. Where does the name come from?
Yeah, so that's me. I have been really interested in kind of refashioning the way that we package and offer classical music. I love the way that modern and more pop mainstream music works, in that the concept is very forward, and the artistry and the life-changing nature of the why of a piece of art is very face forward. And I think that exists. It's just in the blood of what classical music is, but we don't always market things that way or present them that way. And so in my work with art songs specifically, my first album is the same, that title is Untethered. I really wanted to make sure that my album title was not just, you know, a list of what was on the CD, but my personal and kind of lifeblood reaction to the music that I sang. So for me, Formless is kind of everything that we have been chatting about, that these songs has brought up with me, my connection to my great grandmother across space and time and physical understanding, my connection to people that I know and love that are struggling in this pandemic time, in the time of COVID, and people that have lost others, or friendships that have been lost, dreams that have been lost. We're all mourning so many different things. But despite all of this physical sloughing off that's happening in the world right now, and all of this change that's happening in the world right now, we're also learning this beautiful lesson that the thing that connects us is not necessarily a physical thing. I've never met you before. I feel very connected to you just speaking right now. We're on a screen. You know, most of these connections that I've made in the past 7 months or so, some of them very, very, like, deep and meaningful artistic connections with people I've never met before. It's a very hopeful thing that we exist beyond being in a room together. And that extends to me personally, and these songs taught me that in a big way, that extends beyond mortality, in a big sense. So that's why Formless, because I believe that this album really uplifts and celebrates formlessness at its most beautiful.
Well, my last question for you was going to be, you know, what do you hope people can get out of this album? But I think you've covered a lot of that already. Is there anything else you want to say to people that maybe discovering this music for the first time?
Oh, gosh. Sure. I would really recommend maybe listening, taking a moment to close your eyes and really tuning into your heartbeat before you take a second to listen. I think we move very quickly, and even in these times when we're trying to avoid painful moments, we get really busy with things and we'll put music on in the background. And by all means, these are beautiful songs to have on in the background. But if you're looking for a deeper sense of not feeling alone and feeling connected beyond the things we understand, really taking a moment to breathe and listen to your heart for a second, and then allowing Dvorak's beautiful music to take you where it might, as a meditation, would be what I would hope for people, I think. And that just to say that we're not alone, and that, you know, I'm singing for you every day. Every day, even if I can't reach you and your ears, I'm doing it every day in the hopes that it sends good things.
Soprano Elise Kakasek talking about her new album, Formless, which is the biblical songs of Antonin Dvorak. You did this with Dr. Ryan Jackson, your accompanist. Elise, I want to thank you so much for introducing this music to our listeners, to us, and spending a little time talking about it here on FM 91.
My complete pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.